Welcome to episode one of my podcast, or technically episode two if you count the introduction, of my podcast on the natural state of nature. So far, we've kind of went into an introduction about what I intend to cover. And our first episode is going to start with an understanding of the nature of space and time, because I believe with that understanding, so many other mysteries will begin to fall into place. And so I believe that in order to understand the true nature of space and time, all you really need is general relativity and special relativity. Now, I'm not expecting everybody to go out and learn special relativity and general relativity if you haven't already. But if you have a good idea how general relativity and special relativity work and how they apply to physics as we understand them, then you would know that the faster you move through space, the slower you move through time. So we have time dilation caused by speed or velocity, relativistic speeds, or time dilation caused by gravity. Both gravity and high speeds can cause time dilation and or theoretically length contraction, potentially. Your perception of space and time is directly related to your movement or your velocity through space and time. Therefore, if we had bodies that were sharing the same relative trajectory and relative velocity, they would all share in that same base perception of space and time. Well, I believe we do have bodies that share the same relative trajectory and relative velocity. They do so because it is the natural tendency of all celestial bodies to play the childhood game, follow the leader. All celestial bodies, or cohesive groups of bodies, moving as one, are in a constant game of follow the leader. The most massive body drags their children along. So if I was sitting on the moon in my spacesuit and I was trying to gauge what my base perception of space and time was truly based on or coming from, first I would notice, the movement of the moon around the Earth. But the moon also joins the Earth on its journey around the sun. So some asteroids, other satellites, nebulous gas clouds, as well as the moon, all share a cohesive frame of reference with the same relative trajectory and relative velocity. Therefore, they have a base perception of space-time at that point. The sun, our star, and many other stars, hundreds of billions possibly, are all circling around the black hole at the center of our galaxy called Sagittarius A star. So, and some dwarf galaxies. So we have nebulous gas, we have planetary systems, we have rogue bodies, we have potentially other black holes and stars and planets and moons and asteroids and comets, you name it, all within the Milky Way, all sharing the same relative trajectory and relative velocity of Sagittarius A star. Sagittarius A star is in orbit around the Great Attractor. Many, many bodies and groups of bodies share the same relative trajectory and relative velocity of the Great Attractor. The Great Attractor itself is likely in orbit around a body that itself is in motion. Whether or not we can see it, we can almost be 100% certain. I can in my mind, and most people are in their mind, that there is no such thing as a stationary frame of reference. All of our frames of reference are all in motion. And if we can accept the nature of space and time is almost a hereditary nature in that every body or cohesive groups of bodies acquires its base perception of space and time from its most direct parent frame of reference. All bodies within that parent frame of reference sharing the same relative trajectory and relative velocity and thus sharing the same base perception of space and time, have their own internal velocities within that parent frame of reference, and all of the different gravitational fields acting upon each body as it's moving through its parent frame of reference. Those two factors combined, the velocity and gravitational fields acting upon it, further refine the base perception of space and time that each body experiences, and in turn, passes on to all of its child bodies. So, in a sense, you acquire your line of time at each moment of your existence from your direct, most direct frame of reference, which in turn obtains its perception of space and time from its parent frame of reference. If we start with the premise of an infinite universe, infinite time, infinite space, then our visible universe has some cohesive boundary, some group of cohesive bodies, gravitationally bound, overlapping gravity wells, creating almost a tensor mesh of gravitational traction in all different points of space from so many different angles. It's almost uncountable the number of different overlapping gravity wells that you're going to have at many, many different points of space-time within our localized galaxy and or universe. And so those bodies that all share that same base trajectory and velocity, and thus share a same similar speed through space-time, has the same base perception, and further refined by gravitational fields acting upon it as well as its velocity. It then passes that on to its child bodies, bodies that share its journey. So technically, you are a pocket of space-time because you have cells and atoms, bacteria, viruses that join you on your daily journey, and all of them are obtaining their base perception of space and time from you. Sagittarius A star obtains it from the movement of the Great Attractor and the Great Attractor and everything moving with it. Now, in between the Milky Way and the Great Attractor, there is actually things in the middle of that that are gravitationally bound and potentially moving within the movement of the Great Attractor. Their own, like our local group, is a cluster of galaxies that is gravitationally bound and technically moving as one. They're all moving towards the Great Attractor, but there is an internal motion per se within there. So what my theory of everything starts with is a infinite number of separate nested pockets of space-time. Each pocket of space-time is a collection of mass energy gravitationally bound to space-time, localized space-time, based on the different bodies or groups of bodies playing follow the leader, sharing the trajectory of the most massive body. So we have these pockets of space-time, relative space-time, because each pocket is relative to some parent frame of reference, and there is mass energy, because without the mass and energy being bound to space-time, you don't really have a pocket. Within each of these nested pockets of space-time, mass energy, there is a average temperature or total temperature. There is visible light, and there are other cosmic rays. So there's both heat and radiation, which are all different forms of technically radiation given off. I've separated out heat as opposed to light or cosmic rays only because heat is a kind of separate property. It is a combination of the density of that pocket, the gravitational binding, the heat, as well as the internal velocities within it, their cohesiveness, I guess you could almost say, that would cause something to almost look like a pressure. Now, I'm not making this up. I'm just kind of translating general relativity in a way that I think makes sense for the most people. And so these nested pockets, a succession of nested pockets of relative pressurized space-time, mass energy, heat radiation. That is the true nature of space-time. There is an infinite succession inwards and outwards in all directions, and every current frame of reference will at some point share a parent frame of reference with every other frame of reference. However, there are potentials for those frame of references to be very far apart. Okay? So that is the true nature of space-time. We acquire our perception from a parent frame of reference and we pass it on to our children in never-ending succession. Have a good one. Cheers. Live long and prosper. May the force be with you. 42.